Hello, this is Mark Steiner, and welcome once again. We are about to have another conversation, one of our Yes Radio conversations, for this very special Winter 2012 edition, where on their 15th anniversary, they had nominated and chosen 15 what they call extraordinary people, transforming the way we live. And we're about to speak with Lily Ye, who is a woman who created Barefoot Artists and much more. And we're going to speak with her about her work and bring this to light to all of you and bring the article you read in Yes to life through her voice. And Lily Ye, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be on your show.
So, Lily, this is your sojourn has been an interesting one. I mean, you were born in China.
Yes.
Raised in Taiwan. Tell us a little bit about your story from the beginning a little bit.
Well, I was born during the war in south west of China, in Guizhou province, Guiyang city. But it was during the war, and so my father was the officer, a general in Chiang Kai-shek's army. And so when the communist China took over, so we all retreat to Taiwan. And so I grew up in Taiwan, in elementary school, middle school, and elementary school, high school, and the university. So after that, I came to the States to study at the University of Pennsylvania. Yeah, study art.
And the sojourn you went on when you got to Philadelphia was amazing, the story of what happened in North Philadelphia.
Oh, right, yeah.
What you discovered, this thing, the Village of Arts and Humanity in North Philly that you helped create, and that set you on your journey.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I am a very late bloomer. It took me a very long time to figure it all out. You know, first is that coming to the to United States and to in this totally different culture, different system, value system, you know, faith, belief, and all that. And also in a place of great freedom that allows innovation and creativity. So it took me a long time to figure where I am. And I didn't want to just to have a successful life. I want to have a meaningful life. And so when I come in contact, when I was invited to go to North Philadelphia to create an art park on an abandoned lot, and unknowingly that really set me on my journey.
And I want to talk about that journey, but I want to read a quote of yours because I think that's kind of sets the tone as we talk about what happened in North Philadelphia. And it was, I want to bring the gift of beauty to true broken and traumatized places in the world. That's why I started Barefoot Artists.
Yeah.
And this kind of social and artistic philosophy, way of being that you imbue, that you embody. I mean, that's what took you there. I mean, talk about what that means to bring beauty into broken and traumatized places.
Well, because I was trained in traditional Chinese painting, and so there is that I come in contact of that space. I don't think it's religious space, but it's a spiritual space. It talks about harmony, serenity of this world, but it transcends. So when I came to this country, I lost that space, and I felt a great deal of unsettledy inside. And this abandoned lot, without knowing it, allowed me an opportunity to recreate that space of great harmony, beauty, and a place that allows me to reconnect with myself. And I want to create that so other people can retreat and reconnect and relax and recenter. So that became the journey kind of the focus of my work without me even knowing it. But because North Philadelphia, because the abandoned lot in bad, so-called the bad land, it allows me opportunity to explore and to find a way to express my voice, my own sensitivity, without people watching it, without being worried about being in the mainstream. And so when we emerged after maybe 5 years in the trenches, and it a new kind of methodology and a way to turn abandonment into beauty. And through doing that, with the help of neighborhood residents, especially children, I realized that not only it the beauty that we bring to the place transform the physical environment, it transformed the people who participate in the process. And so then I realized the power of art in transforming our society.
And I know that you said somewhere that you referred to as in this poor, struggling African-American neighborhood of North Philadelphia as the little crazy Chinese lady.
It was very funny because at the beginning, you know, I really know very little how to do things, and so Arthur Hall, who was this talented late dancer and choreographer, and he said, "Go find Joseph Williams, who is a jack of all trades," and then so the word was that this crazy Chinese woman who wants to do these crazy things and build an art park. And then Jojo wanted to have nothing to do with me. But I persisted and tracked him down. And then we just became fast friend and partner in making the dream come true. That became the Village of Arts and Humanities. It was like that.
So, but one of the things that I when I watched the video that we'll link to of you speaking at the Bioneers Conference and the visuals that you showed of that community in North Philly, the transformation of this desolate trash-strewn lot into a living, breathing space, garden, art that everybody took part in.
Yes.
The murals you painted in Ethiopian style and all the things that you built there.
Yeah.
Not just you, but you built with the community.
Yes, right. Very much with the community.
I mean, talk a bit about how that, I mean, because, you know, people can look at that and go, okay, look, fine, this is fine. You have an artist who comes in and they paint pictures on the wall and it's all very sweet, but what does it really mean when communities face what they face? Right?
Very good question. Very good question. First thing is that the beauty I feel that we all created is not prettiness or sweetness, but it's a beauty wrestled from the heart of darkness. It's by listening to people and be there and in the hours of great darkness and difficulty, like Jojo, like a big man, his story, James Maxton, and he was a drug addict and sold drugs for 20 years. He transformed into a wonderful mosaic artist that the whole community came rally and support him. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is that the art alone doesn't transform. If you want to transform a society, art in those dark places is like striking a fire. It let people know that we are here. It let people come organize the community into something ready to take action, to receive expertise brought by other people. But we take roots in our community and with our identity and pride. So it organized the community to be ready for profound social change. And so when you talk about the living I call my art is in a way it's living social sculpture. When it is living, it's not just about you paint a mural. It's like when you plant a flower, a tree, or something living, you have to give it care and nurturement and attention. It's like that. So art is the beginning. It's like a trailblazer. It leads people towards the light, towards creativity, to us working together. But then you have to follow up with different kinds of program. That's how Village emerged. It's not just about the mural, a piece of sculpture. It is about people coming together, learn to cultivate the land, learn to plant garden, the green spaces, and education, and theater, and cottage industry, health, and all that. Many things.
And so the artwork, the work of bringing community together, is what explodes into these social, economic, health programs that come out of the energy of the artistic space that's created.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Art is the most effective mean in cutting through a lot of hindrance we put among ourselves, like class, gender, race, and the economic background, inequality, and so forth. But when we create art in the way we do it, in the community-based co-creative process, it's equalized. Through art, we create a new open democratic space. Everybody who wants to come in, participate, can come in on equal footing. And so it's really, we start on our strength rather than our deficits. We start in an open, free, nurturing space. And that's how it cuts through a lot of things and to make community building more possible and more in a speedy manner.
So you began here in North Philly. How many years ago did you begin the project in North Philly?
Exactly 25 years ago.
And it's still alive.
Auspicious,
and,
yes.
And it's still alive.
Wonderful. Oh, the village now is under the third executive director,
wow.
Elizabeth Grimaldi, and they have the young people and with the young teens creating very wonderful and full of energy. Yeah, it's alive, they're doing very well, yeah.
But then it's expanded somehow. I mean, you didn't go after this to make a lot of money or to raise a lot of money, but it really did grow. I mean, there's stories about you went to Rwanda.
Right. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, it does. Yeah, we never make a lot of money, but we are about rainmaking. We are rainmakers. There are a lot of resources out there and people wanting to do good. And then there are a lot of places in need. And so what we do is channeling the goodwill and resources into places in need. So it's not about so much making money, but it's about how do you get all the goodwill, expertise, resources in the world, come and nurture the places that it needs. So then, mutually, we create a more just, more sustainable and kinder world. That's what we're about. And so, in Rwanda, it's really interesting because you asked about the power of beauty.
Yes.
And when I just happened to be in a international conference in Barcelona, and I heard Jean Bosco Musana, this wonderful man, talking from the depth of his being about the suffering of his people 10 years after the genocide. And my heart was moved. And I just said to myself, maybe 10 years later, it's not too late. And I just would ask him whether he can come and pick me up at the airport. I'm coming. And so that's how I went, and he was there. And he took me to see the mass grave, and my heart sank because the mass grave has no marking. It's in the rough concrete block that looks like an animal stable. And I said to myself, if my loved ones were buried there, my heart would never heal. So I said, I want to bring beauty to in the memorial design to help to people to heal and to bring the victim home in a dignified manner. And that's how I came to Rwanda. We're bringing art, creativity, and beauty to heal a deeply wounded people.
And when I saw what happened there, I mean, it's. Let me just read another quote about that that came out of this Yes Magazine article that you said. This came out of your work with Rwanda, and you said it isn't just the beauty of the artwork; it really is a shared prosperity, not the Wall Street prosperity, not the capitalist prosperity, but simply a shared prosperity for all villagers.
Yes, thank you for reading that, because I always believed it be a prosperity not for a few, but for everybody. That's the only way we're going to survive as a human race, and then also to protect the planet. And I tried that from the at the Village of Arts and Humanities. We launched different products and craft industry and so forth. And this continued on when I went to Rwanda, and it is real life, I am happy to say. In 7 years, from a very destitute, despairing village full of survivors, traumatized by their loss of in every way. And now, last time I went back, with my dear friend Marion Kahnheim, and she witnessed this, that they, in doing their celebration ceremony, they said, now Miss Lily, Mama Lily, they call me Mama Lily, and they anointed me into Mama Cow last year. The reason is that they say now we always needed things, but this year we celebrate, we provided food, now we can fend for ourselves. So what through you, barefoot artists, and many other people, experts, Engineers Without Borders, University of Jefferson, the medical students in Florida, and on, we brought to them all kinds of, like rainwater harvest devices, all kinds of, micro credits and good health, and even solar energy, making solar panels. They say that now our children drink milk. And so they say they anointed me into Mama Cow, because they say cow is important in their culture, because when a mother passed away, the child can grow up with the milk from the cow. And so they gave me the cow milk they just got from the village, and they're so sweet, the fresh milk. And then I poured the milk into children's bowls so they can drink it, and they provide food for the whole village free, and provide wonderful clean bottled water, Fanta and Coca-Cola. That is a sign that they are good. They are good. A shared prosperity, they are good. And then they earn money through the, they earn money through the microcredit, and they use that money to take care of all the elderly in the village. That's why I call it a shared prosperity, and my heart is happy.
And you've been doing this, across the world. You talked a bit about the article, a little bit about your trip to Palestine, to, I guess, the Balata.
Balata, oh my goodness, yes. That is so powerful, project in Balata, Palestine.
That was one of the most recent ones. You just recently went there, right?
Yeah, yes. Right. Just in September, yes, yeah. Well, that's my first project there. I did a huge mural. but it's so powerful because it is at the heart of political struggles, insolvable and full of conflict between not just the Israeli and the Palestinian people, but it's really between the Christian faith and the Islamic faith, Jewish faith, Islamic faith, and so on. So it's very powerful. When we were there to do the project, it was caught right at the time when Abbas went to UN and bid for statehood, and the second day President Obama vetoed it. And then so the first night that when we were, first day when we were launching the project, and the community were so happy we're coming from America, we're trying to help them and so forth. And overnight, we became the target. We are the, we're Americans. So it was very, very interesting. Because we were there, it caused the basic intense conflict in the community. They went through several hours of soul searching that night. And then the community decided to welcome us back to finish the mural. Mm. And what was so interesting, you can say, okay, it's only a mural, and we see it everywhere. Everybody's doing mural. But this mural is different. It transformed me in a way. I experienced a rebirth in Palestine because in Balata, they are all refugees, displaced people. And so they have art everywhere. And you see the martyrs, the pictures of the martyrs on the street. And also you see, I mean, this is right next to Nablus, the heart of the resistance center. And then you also see art that is basically political art. One picture I like to show is say, existence is resistance. It's very much caught in the political anti-Israeli occupation and that. So when I do the art, and I feel it has to be, it has to address not only the current moment, which is so full of pain and suffering and suppression, oppression because of the occupation. And also, I said, it has to remember the strength of the Palestinian people, and it has to remember to look at, address the future possibilities. And then also, it has to be broader than the political dead knot right now. It has to embrace the suffering and experience the wisdom of the whole humanities. And so I did this tree. It's an olive tree, ancient olive tree of 1,000 years old. An olive tree is a very much symbol of life and death because this is where it's their livelihood, but a lot of time their olive orchard were attacked during harvest time by the settlers because of the political struggle, because the fighting for land issue, okay? So, and I said, we have to look, and so I did a tree of life, which became a tree of peace, because the life is the. I did the workshop with the girls in Balata Girls School, and so they drew a lot of beautiful flowers. They drew the Palestine flags. They drew Palestine, the country, very patriotic. And the one striking part is that they drew eyes, big eyes, and full tears dripping. And then they drew keys to Jerusalem, and there is the Dome of Rock and people worshiping. Because like the in Nablus, it's almost impossible for them to go to worship at the Dome of the Rock, the most sacred place, Islamic sites in Palestine. But they could not go. And so there's this deep longing to go home, and the pain of displacement. And also I see olive tree branches represent peace, and I also see the white doves in many places. So I just took all that in and drew a mural the best I knew how, with the colors, with the images emerged from the workshop and the murals I saw on the wall, and create this beautiful mural, I think, full of the tree of life, full of blossoms, the ancient olive trees. Reaching in the center is the dome of the rock, and surrounded in the night starry sky by the white doves at the corners. So I called it the tree of life turned into the tree of peace. Mm. And then when people saw the mural, they have not seen anything like that. My coordinator said that you opened a new dimension in our imagination. And for me, it's really the desire to reach peace through art, through creativity, and not through armed means. And I think the word, the best word to describe it is my coordinator, and he said that we have to struggle for our survival, for our identity, but we struggle not only for justice and human dignity, not only just for the Palestinian people, but for Israelis and for all the people in the world.
That was a beautiful thing that he wrote. It's on your website, barefootartist.org, Majdi Sheila.
Yes,
They quote you talking about when he said, "We must try to give something every day. We must continue to struggle for justice and human dignity through education, culture, and art, not only for Palestinians, but also for Israelis and for all the people of the world."
Yeah.
I think that you're bringing here with the work you've created, with all the people you work with, is a much clearer definition, understanding of the power of art to free and be part of the struggle for human dignity and building a new world.
Yes.
And it's the power of the, it's not the art itself, but it's what the art itself can unleash inside of a community and within people.
Yeah, awakening creativity in all of us. So we all shine together. And just a few artists here and there, not enough. We all have that God-given light and creativity inside of ourselves. But when we release that cover, that power, we must keep to the light, because creative power can be very destructive, as we have witnessed in human history. And that's where it's the conscientiousness, and that's where the light, the goodness in all of us is so important in guiding to our own survival and the survival of the planet.
Lilia, this has been just a pleasure and an honor to have a conversation with you.
Honor for me to be in your program. Thank you.
Thank you. One of Yes Magazine's 15 extraordinary people. We'll be linking to barefootartist.org and to Lilia's speech at the Bioneers Conference, which you should watch and see the visuals as well. And Lilia, I look forward one day to meeting you, and thank you so much for your time and for the art and beauty you bring to the world.
Thank you so much.